Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Everybody, welcome to Spanish Aquí Presents. Carlos Raisa, Oscar, Tony in the house. And I don't know about you all, but I am hungry.
Wow.
What are you hungry for, bebe?
I don't know why I started the podcast. I didn't have a snack before, and now I rue the day.
What snacks do you usually have before? Like, you're like, oh, fuck.
You know what I'm really into recently? Chicharrones. But, like, there's a healthy kind. There's a healthy kind of chicharrones that have very little fat and a lot of protein. And
okay, come on, plug. What's it called? Let us know.
I forget. I got to get the bag. I know what it looks like.
I was literally having plant-based chicharrones before we hopped onto this.
Wait. Espérate, hold the fuck up. There's plant-based chicharrones?
Yeah.
Tony. They're made of rice and peas. And I guess there's like the spice that you would use for chicharrones, like as a little kick to it.
It's not the same,
I had to try it.
Okay, Tony, can you send me this?
Yeah.
I want to order it because when I think of chicharrón, I always think of like the ones that my dad will buy in Miami, and it was just a plastic bag like from Publix or Winn-Dixie or like
To be fair, chicharrones are not. I mean, obviously they're meat related, so if you can't have meat, you shouldn't be able to have chicharrón. But out of all of the junk food snacks, aside from the sodium. They have no carbs and they have the most protein. Like, seriously, they're not a terrible snack. If you're going to have a bag of Cheetos, have a bag of chicharrones. The problem is that obviously like the old school bags are like jacked up on sodium. So there's like new companies that are coming out with like healthier-ish version of chicharrones. And I'm here for it, ladies and gentlemen. I am here for it.
I guess, but I also feel like if you're going to have chicharrones, like for me, it's kind of like, if I'm going to eat pizza, I'm going to fucking eat a pizza. I'm going to fucking enjoy the fuck out of that fucking delicious, greasy, maybe not greasy, yummy, fattening pizza. Because I'm just kind of like, why am I going to have a healthy pizza if I'm going to have a pizza? But that's just me. Because I'm like, I can be healthier with everything. But anyways, I respect that. I respect them being healthier for the greater good of America's bodies. Anyway.
Speaking of America's bodies.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go on, unpack that. America's bodies.
America's bodies today's. What about it?
Well, hey, our guests today are the Doughboys, who are famous for, you know.
Comida.
For comida. Talking about comida. I thought we should talk about comida, the four of us, before we bring them in. Huh?
Yeah.
We're trying to decide what our favorite meal from where we're from. Is that what we're trying to figure out?
That's the angle. Yep. We'll take it.
Is that the hook, Oscar?
Yes.
Yeah, Oscar's very combative about his food from Colombia. So he's like, oh, I'm going to fight everybody.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen Oscar get so passionate other than when he's bringing up the food. His face just starts like he starts drooling in like happiness.
Mm-hmm. yes, correct. All that is correct. But I was thinking maybe we can settle this once and for all.
Okay.
And decide which cuisine is the most delicious.
Cuban.
Is it Puerto Rican, Cuban, or Colombian?
Settle that. Case closed.
Okay, so tell us why, Tony.
Please. When people think of Latino food and they're not Latino, they're like, oh my God, I want Cuban food. They want the starch. They want the rice. For meat eaters, they want the pork. Yes, they want the chicharrones. They want pernil. They want pollo asado. They want ropa vieja. I mean, maduro, cotones. You Raul have encendido. Everything.
Why does Tony sound like he's in an episode of Shark Tank right now?
He's selling it. Los frijoles, arroz con,
thank
con
you,
pollo.
Raisa. It's both of us. Raisa and here. We are here.
You, Raisa, are stacking against us. That's not fair.
We're a team. Go ahead, make your case.
Now, what would you say is like the, like, how would you describe Cuban cuisine to people who are not familiar with that cuisine?
starchy and salty. Like our people.
I would say garlic. Yeah.
Garlic is a must. It's definitely a must. Garlic, onions,
if you want to know the difference between Cuban food and Puerto Rican food, it's about 45% less garlic.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah. But it's fine. You do it. You make everybody eat the garlic. Everybody has garlic breath. They all have the same. It's
unless
fine.
Unless you're like me and you're intolerant, and it's just a terrible situation for everybody.
Well, when I've cooked Cuban for you guys, like 2-3 times so far, like I feel like, and every time I do it, the first time I forgot, but then after that I remember. Yeah. I don't like I cook it a little bit, but then I like scrape the minced garlic from Carlitos is like palomilla.
Yeah.
Because he can't have it. And I'm like, Jesus, this is like what it is to have like, not in a bad, but like this is like what it is kind of like to have children. If like when you cook for different people.
What is it
people,
to have children when you scrape minced garlic off of?
Well, yeah, because like it's like my little sister, like Raj, or like when I would do stuff for her, like she like had picky things too. And like, I know like certain things I have to like take out. And I always feel like a mom when I do that. But then I'm also very picky myself. So I'm sure people get annoyed when they have to
They had my garlic situation is very much, and I always tell people so they can understand, it's like a lactose intolerance. So I wish they had a pill for it. And even if they do, and listeners, if you know about a pill that can help with the effects of garlic the same way that a pill, lactate or whatever helps for intolerant for lactose, I'm down for it. Because I'm not mad at garlic. It's just, it does my body.
It makes you poop or fart or both.
No. None? It gives me...
Just like stomach ache.
Like you have a hard time digesting it?
Like acid.
Yeah, a hard time processing it. So I have like, first of all, I get super thirsty for the rest of the day. Then I get acid reflux like crazy. It's not pleasant. Then I'm bloated. Then I'm gassy. Then I'm like, it's just not like, I'm just like, you guys have seen me. It's just not.
So it is like, it is. Okay, that's why I wasn't sure.
So it's it's not like it's not an allergic reaction. It's just like in my body, which I inherited from I think my dad was like that, and my older sister's the same. So I inherited that from my family, unfortunately.
Interesting. Okay,
super. I want to know about Colombian cuisine, because in my mind, I think Caribbean food, Carlos, I think you said, they're similar, like,
there's
spice. Caribbean food is to me, I think of spices and salt. I don't know if that has to do with, like, the way food was transported or whatever.
I don't think so much spice when I think of Caribbean food. Do you?
Or just spice, not like spicy, salt. But spice like sazón. Sazón, adobo. Yes.
There we go.
Gotcha. I thought you meant like picante. I was like, huh.
No, no, picante. No. We don't do...
Okay. All right.
We have, but it's not... But Colombia, go ahead.
Yeah, go.
Yeah, I just think that's like one of the... before I even go into Colombian cuisine, I think that's like one of the biggest fallacies of just like South American food. And that is like the big... I mean, I don't know if y'all get this all the time, but I know I do, because I really don't like spicy foods. I have a really... low spice tolerance level.
Same.
But people are always just like, wait, but you're Latino. Aren't you supposed to love spicy food?
Yeah.
And it's
Latino.
Like, that feels like a microaggression in a way.
Or when you go to a place and they're like, oh, like Chipotle or whatever. No. Like, you know, they're always like, oh, the hot. Like, and I'm like, why does everybody assume that I want this? I'm like,
because you're Latina.
Because you're brown.
Exactly. Yeah. And it just, you know, can I just make a point here? Can we just set it?
Yes, please.
And then remember it. Let's just do it right now, that not all Latinx people eat spicy foods. You're mostly thinking of Central American, specifically Mexican cuisine, which is heavy on spices. Mm-hmm. But Colombian, I mean, I'm sure Puerto Rican and Cuban is also, I mean, I'm not really familiar with Puerto Rican cuisine, but I know Cuban cuisine from El Cochinito, obviously.
We're very, very, very similar.
Yeah.
But there's no spices, right?
No, for the most part, no. And actually, you talked about the tolerance to spicy. I felt the same way when I first moved out here. Like, I remember trying tapatillo for the first time, and my eyes watered. That's how low of a tolerance. I've built a tolerance, and I have an appreciation now. Tapatillo is like water now. But
yes,
this is like 10, 15 years ago, I remember trying it. And then... from that point to the point where I actually bought it for the first time, I was like, oh my God, am I buying this for my food? It was a whole process of getting accustomed to the spice. It only happened when I moved here.
Right? Same. That is so funny. And more since dating Alejandro, like, listen, if you date a Mexican, you better learn how to drink and you better learn how to fucking eat spicy food. Because if not, that's it. You'll never survive the family parties. You'll never survive. It's fine if you don't know how to dance or you can't speak Spanish. All those things are fine.
Is that tolerance?
Yeah, if you can't drink, if you can't do
alcohol.
It's the tequila shots and the fucking spicy shit that, like, I'm like, oh, my body. I don't know if I can do this. But anyways, yes, continue. Wow.
I would not thrive then because I don't drink and I don't like spicy food.
So yeah.
Anti-Oscar. Oscar, would you say that your Colombian cuisine is more corn-based or plantain-based?
Interesting.
Well, Dr. Santos, I think that, I mean, Colombian food is really starchy, full of protein, a lot of meat. Plantains are welcome, but it is very corn-based stuff. I mean, you know, it's not the healthiest food. I mean, the thing about the biggest Colombian dish is the bandeja paisa, which I don't know if you guys have ever had, but that's like the signature Colombian dish. And it has, let me see if I remember, it has a fried egg, it has frijoles, it has white rice, it has plantains, it's got a pork, como chicharrón almost, like a pork rind thing, steak, it is just
aguacate,
right, just to put a little health in there, but it is, you know, and the size is a modest size. I mean, Colombians are not, you know, they're not starved. You know, what I mean?
I think, like, Latinos in general, well, portions for Latinos are always
portion control is something I've heard in my entire life, because it's like, as an adult, I'm like, yeah, when we were little, nobody ever, they were like, mira un plato, and it was like.
But that comes from the feast or famine situation from our older generations. We carried that, and who's gonna tell abuela that it's fine? We're gonna have there's a 24-hour 7-Eleven.
100%. It's like the memes. I'm sure you've seen these a bunch, where it's like. It's a meat on the top. It's the abuela like feeding you and ay, tienes que comer comida, whatever. And then on the bottom, it's like when you come back for like the holidays and it's like, estás muy gorda. You know what I mean? Like, it's like they want to feed you and then they call you out on your body if it's like too skinny or too fat. And it's like
it's like you're in a fraternity. You're getting hazed by your own grandma, abuela.
Literally.
Eat. Why is over
there? Yeah. Oh my God. Oscar, there was a Colombian restaurant in Miami that I used to go to all the fucking time. And I can't think of the name right now. I'm going to text my sister, actually, to make sure to ask her.
I assume Colombian cuisine is popping in Miami because there's a huge population of Colombians there.
Unfortunately,
there really isn't much Colombian cuisine represented here in Los Angeles.
No.
There are some, but it's not as, you know, because I'm
What's
from,
the closest thing
Queens.
To we have the Colombian in? Here, they're more like full cuisine, but more like
they have restaurants.
Like there's Colombian restaurants. Yeah, there's
Sabor Colombiano, and there's another one called La Fonda Antioqueña.
That's it. Yes.
I have friends. I have a couple friends that are Colombian. That live in LA, and they've gone, and I'm always like, where is this? And like I've bookmarked it on my Yelp or whatever because it is really good. Like the patacones, which is what you guys call tostones, what the Cubans call tostones.
In Puerto Ricans as well.
You guys, okay, I was like, because I know already, like, the platanos have so many different names all over Latin America. The patacones, do you guys eat it with guacamole? Like, is
guacamole.
That a normal? But is that like a normal, like, traditional type of, like, aperitivo? Because in Miami, I would eat that all the time. And I remember one of my Colombian friends being like, oh, that's just like more Americanizado. So I don't know. Like, it was like, instead of chips and salsa, they like, you could order like patacones or guacamole at the restaurant.
Yeah, no. That's not a Colombian thing at all.
Huh?
What was that, Reza?
Guacamole. Oh, what?
Hesitated.
Oh, no. No, because my sister wrote back to the text because asked her. But I was like, she's like, what do you want?
Leave me alone.
What else?
But also, let me ask you this, because I know in a lot of Colombian cuisine, it is a staple is to have your sopa or sancocho first, and then you have your solid food meal. Uh-huh. Is that true in Cuba and Puerto Rico as well?
It could be. For the most part, sancochos are a meal on their own.
Yeah.
Sancochos and the other one, I'm going to find the name because it sounds similar. But go ahead, keep going, Reza.
And I was going to say, I feel like it depends on the person when it comes to that. Because, for example, my brother will not eat his plato con arroz y frijoles and bistec de palomilla until he eats his salad and his sopa if he ordered a sopa, but like at the restaurant or even in his house. But I'm the kind of person, I don't know if it's because I'm vegetarian, veganish, as I said earlier. I don't know if it's because of that, but I like to have everything together because I like to just like put a bite of the salad, then a thing of the rice and
sure.
beans.
You like
I like
flavors.
To mix it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I need it. That I 100% need. Mm-hmm. How about you guys? How do you feel about that? Like, I know it's not like specific, but to the food, but.
I love to mix my food.
You too. Like to mix it? Carlitos mixes.
Yeah, I like to mix.
I don't. I'm not a big mixer. I like separating my food. And okay. I'm similar. Like I'll eat a salad before I'll eat. But you know, let's be real. Like I will eat the dessert before I'll have a meal. I have a sweet tooth.
It's healthier for you to eat the dessert, allegedly, because it's the hardest thing to digest. And then the rest of the food later.
Yeah, no, that's why I do it.
You got a cafecito.
Of course, that's why I do it. And for me, it's like, y'all know, anyone who knows me knows that my favorite food is flan of all time. And like, that's, if there is flan at a restaurant, you best believe I'm ordering it.
Mm.
But the surprising thing for me is that not everyone agrees with my palate.
Oh.
And that some people don't like the consistency of flan, which I think is so.
I think you kind of got to grow up with it. It's the same as Malta.
If you grow up with that shit.
But try to explain to somebody that has never had it before to try it, and they're what the F is this shit?
That's hard.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
It's like an earthy root beer.
Yeah, no, it's basically a beer would take without the alcohol and a bunch of sugar.
It's the same. Like, it's with soda.
It's made in the same plant, in the same facility as you make beer.
Yeah. I'm more of a irombeer kind of girl or matero.
What?
Irombeer or materva kind of girl.
Oh, that's
Cuban sodas.
The Cuban soda, yeah.
Yeah.
What's that Cuban pineapple soda that is so damn
jupiña.
Good?
Jupiña.
Jupiña. So much.
That is so freaking delicious.
Jupiña que suena como pinga.
Is that, instead of cafecito break, are we going to take a jupiña break?
Yes.
Or a jupingan break.
No. Okay.
Either one.
Right.
And I was waiting for Tony to back me up on that one.
So let's take a jupinga break.
We all know that after we come back from this break, it's going to be cafecito.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
Okay, wait.
But it'll still be slurp, slurp, slurp.
Yes. Yes. But. Really quick. Before we go, I want everybody to say their favorite, just one item. It could be just an appetizer or a side of a piece of meat, whatever, of your country that you like to eat. I'll go last.
Ropa vieja.
Cuban. Tony. Dale.
Arroz con pollo.
Arroz con pollo, boricua, Carlito.
For me, it's flan.
Okay, flan. Still Cuban. Okay, all right.
Okay, that's Colombian.
No, that's not Cuban.
I know.
Don't
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Listen, I claim flan, okay? My tía Clara, la bella tía, did the best flan in Miami. May she rest in peace. Wow. But let me tell you.
Raisa, what's yours?
Mine is... I have a lot because I'm vegetarian, but I'm just going to say the frijole negro, if you can make some good fucking black beans, I can eat that shit like soup. I don't even need the rice.
You can eat it like soup.
Yes,
in
there
fact,
is that.
So many places sell it as a soup.
Sure. But, you know, your girl does like some carbs in every meal.
Sure.
Yes. Okay, perfect. Yeah.
We did it. We solved it. Yeah, I'm glad we came to a conclusion. And flan will always, I think that's the thing that unifies everything.
Yeah.
In the Venn diagram of SAP, it's flan.
Yeah, so let us know if you want to send us some flan and we'll send you our P.O. box.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get it.
So you can send it to our headquarters, our SAP headquarters.
Yeah, send it to our SAP headquarters. Dale.
Dale.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move.
fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
And welcome back to Spanish Aquí Presents Slurp, Slurpity Slurp. We are back with, it's a full house today, I gotta say, two of the most popular podcast people of all time. I think it's like, that is
official.
The actual title.
Yeah.
Two most popular dudes in the podcast
according to
medium.
A gentleman named Mr. Guinness.
That's right. That's right. Give it up for the co-hosts of Doughboys Podcast. It's Mike Mitchell and Nick Weiger. How's it going, guys?
Hi. What's up, guys?
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
It's exciting.
Thanks for being here. We're so excited to have you. Like, podcast poppies, like, plural. What? I mean,
Popeye.
Yeah,
Podcast
Popeye. Yeah,
yes. There
you go. One Popeye and one Bluto, maybe.
Yeah.
one Wimpy and one Bluto. Let's be honest.
All right, that's fair.
Here we go. Okay, so like Oscar said in the intro, let's just get into it. You guys have one of the biggest podcasts out there that I like. It's interesting because you think, oh, it's just a food pot. Like, no, like you guys get into so many different subjects and different things. And so many people know about your podcast. What inspired you guys to even just start doing this? Because you've been doing it for a hot minute and it's blown the fuck up.
Well, so Nick and I both, you get to a certain age at like, you know, local comedy theaters where you just feel like the old fuck that shouldn't be there anymore. And
yes.
But we should preface that you had a you guys used to perform before we get into the.
We were around UCB for a while. I started going there in 2005, 2006, and Nick was there. Nick was on stage already, and we didn't get to do too much stuff together before this. So we thought it would be a fun thing to do together and podcast. We actually thought we were late to the podcast game.
Yes, which 2015.
Which found out we were not.
No.
Nobody's late to the podcast.
No.
Truly.
It's only going to be more.
Yeah, but it came out of the topic came out of Mitch and I just sort of, you know, we've known each other for years. And I think one of the things that with like, we were just sort of like, okay, people talk about movies, people talk about TV shows, people talk about video games. These are things that the two of us would talk about. But for whatever reason, it felt like there was something of a gap in terms of chain restaurants and fast food. And that is a topic that every single person, it feels like, has an opinion on. Like everyone has the time they had a birthday party at Pizza Hut and their dad got drunk, or everyone has the time that they, you know, everyone worked at Chili's for a summer between high school and college or something. You know, it feels like
an endlessly.
I did.
Dad got drunk. Yeah.
Dad's always getting drunk.
Dad's got a drink.
Yeah,
true. Got a drink.
Wait, has everybody here worked at a restaurant?
I literally worked at Chili's over a summer.
What?
Wow.
Talking about Carter Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico. Yeah,
I did. All right. Your episode is booked.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I think he's the only one too. You guys haven't had maybe on the pod. I know me and Oscar for sure have been on it.
Yes, yeah. Right? We got to get Tony and Carlos. We got to get both of you guys on. But
right
on.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it was awesome to have it was awesome to have Reza and Oscar's awesome to have you guys on and talk about your histories. But Carlos, you were on, so you worked at Chili's. And what was that? What was that like?
Well, I originally came in. I was so desperate for money, and it was like I have a couple months before I have to go back to college, you know, to school. I was going to Fresno State at the time, and I was like, you know what? If I have to wash dishes,
Bulldogs?
I'll wash dishes. Yeah, go Bulldogs. That's correct.
Okay.
So I showed up, and I was like, hey,
I thought that was just a blanket statement for me.
No. I was like, great.
No, even
great
in Fresno, people go Bulldogs. Like that's not that's
right.
But I went in, and I was like, you know what? Is there anything open? I'll wash dishes. And they were like, okay. And then they called me in for like the next week, and I was ready to wash dishes. And the guy comes, you're here for a server job. And I was like, yes. And then I ended up serving. Like I wasn't even like, it just really worked out. It was a weird,
Real slick.
That's just about like putting my first, you know, you put your first step forward to something and then it just kind of happened. So I did it for like a month or two and then I had to bounce. But it was interesting. Yeah. I did the Chili's literally.
No trainee shift or anything.
Yeah.
You just kind of went right into it.
Right. Yeah. I just like shadowed somebody for a couple of days and then got right into it. I had to memorize the like it was. Pretty
after easy. That month, they asked him to be a manager, and he's like, "Nah, dudes, I gotta go.
I gotta go.
Hollywood's so calling, baby. Hollywood.
You're the CEO by now.
I have, I have a little franchise on my own.
Wait, so Mike and Nick, where are you guys from originally, and what sort of like local fast food joints did you frequent in your childhood?
I'm going to just say go Tuxedo Cats because I...
exclamation point, not question mark.
I'm from Boston area. I'm from Quincy, Mass. And so it's funny because we've talked about this a lot on the podcast. Like as far as like I had a very American upbringing as far as food goes. And even back when I was a kid, I've said this on the podcast multiple times, but like Mexican food was kind of like as rare as, you know, like I remember when sushi came around and that was the thing that it was like, oh, like this is crazy to me when now that's, you know, no one bats an eye at it. But yeah, like I feel like Mexican food was the most like ethnic food that you would have in the city. You know, it was Italian food a lot going out to eat and things like that. And so fast food, of course, is a big part of just being a teenager and a kid or whatever. You have parents like me who don't give a shit. But that's what Nick and I bonded over is the fact of like we kind of both did. We have an appreciation for and love of fast food and also knowing at the same time that it's, you know, a terrible, you know, all these right. companies are terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, all monsters. But growing up, Mitch, your favorites, because you reference a lot of local Boston chains that aren't out here.
Yeah.
Places like D'Angelo's Subs.
D'Angelo's Subs. So D'Angelo's, Papagino's, those were like two local Boston places. Brigham's, which is now gone under, but there is like one left that's not really Brigham's, but does the same stuff, which is an ice cream place. And like that is something that I miss on the West Coast is like a soda fountain sort of place, like just like
a real Johnny Rockets,
not like a custard place,
not like the pump.
Yeah, like a real Johnny Rockets, truly, like that's that sort of like not there's no car spinning around on the outside or whatever, like a big 50s car or whatever. But those were big. But then also like I remember when the KFC turned into a half KFC half Taco Bell, and that was like. That was huge. And also and just like I was saying, like I don't know Mexican food and this is kind of crazy. And so going to Taco Bell felt like a weird dipping of, I know that's insane, but I mean like that, it's insane, but that was like me dipping my toes into like, into different foods. Which
was
I
that, your,
for a,
was that your first taco, your first chalupa?
I mean, I think that I like my first
Francesa.
I mean, honestly,
for
probably a lot of that stuff. I had like hard shell tacos at my house or whatever, but that felt crazy to me even. And like I think it was like late middle school, high school that like I really even like started going on Taco Bell. But a lot of other, you know, just like everywhere else, McDonald's. We had like the McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's sort of setup that a lot of cities do, and then some local fast food places.
Just tier one.
The tier one places, which is great, to have all those spots, and then D'Angelo's, Papagino's, and then like other local pizza spots, which is East Coast. It's like a lot of like Subs and sandwich places. Like that's such a big thing is like getting a steak and cheese or an Italian sub from like the local sub / pizza place.
That definitely feels very East Coast for sure.
Yeah.
You also had a lot of fast food too, Nick? Is that where you guys were saying how you connected?
100%. I just ate garbage as a child. Yeah. And I think it was my parents were just happy that I would eat anything. I was actually, my dad was, for whatever reason, Mitch, I haven't told you this, but my dad like listened to some episodes of our podcast.
Oh, shit.
And he was like,
And you can't record it together anymore.
Dad won't let you.
No, and my episode was his favorite, is what I've also heard.
He loved it.
Wow, yeah.
I love it.
He had, but But specifically, we were talking about like.
Well, I was going to say, like, dad's listening to the podcast while drunk. It's another one of those.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a George Weiger thing specifically.
Yeah, I mean, my dad for sure. Yeah. That's like on the Weiger family crest. Someone just staggering to a men's room. So I grew up in Southern California. I lived in LA County my entire life. And my treats as far as fast food went, and I referenced my dad because, you know, he would like take me out to like a lot of times fast food was like a good report card thing. Like I go to In-N-Out Burger, which I think everyone from California is an In-N-Out Burger fan. A Del Taco is my other favorite. That's right up there. Kind of a semi-regional chain. And Wendy's is another place that Mitch and I both are like a national chain that the both of us love. So like as far as fast food chains, yeah, those are kind of my spots. I mentioned my dad because in addition to taking me out to eat at these chains, we would also like have a lot of junk food in the home, which I didn't realize until later was not a lot of kids' experiences. A lot of parents like don't want to just give their kids like liquid sugar and candy. But I had like my dad was mad at me because I was telling everyone that I had Cookie Crisp cereal as a kid. It's dessert for breakfast. Yeah, children shouldn't be eating it. No one should be eating it, but we were eating it.
That's not his fault either. I mean, like that was every.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that was back in the day. People didn't know there wasn't a language. Right. There wasn't vocab. Like, yeah, people. Were just like, yeah,
that's super interesting because there's something about Cookie Crisp that was like, you've crossed the line. This is cookies for breakfast.
Yes,
absolutely not. Meanwhile, I remember I was a fucking freak as a kid, and I would have Fruity Pebbles, but instead of milk. I would have orange juice.
Oh, no.
Why?
Baby boy.
And I'll tell you exactly why.
Make it
why.
Make sense, Oscar.
And I definitely will make it make sense. Well, I don't know if it's... Yeah. But because in the commercials, you would see what? You would see the cereal. Uh-huh. You would see a piece of toast, a glass of milk, and a glass of orange juice.
Yeah.
So
for
in
your
my
mouth.
Child mind, I was like...
You drank
you
the milk.
Either
and
chose you... mil- yeah. You drink the milk, as you do, and then you pour the orange juice in the cereal.
Oh, no.
I can't even... I don't even like thinking of people drinking, like, a full cup of milk. I don't know what it is about watching someone do that on TV or in real life. I just get grossed out.
How often do you see people drinking milk on TV?
Dude, all the time. What are you talking about? They're always drinking milk. Everybody's drinking milk.
Yeah, at dinner time. That was the weird thing for me. I was like, no, you don't drink milk after 6 p.m. That's crazy.
Yeah, dinner time milk was like, if you watch TGIF or whatever, like it was always like the Winslows would always have like a cup of milk at dinner time. It just was like thing.
It doesn't go with nothing. This is all really interesting to me though, because like for my house, we're 6 kids in total, but we were not like we didn't eat as much fast food. It was more like a treat for us, like on Friday night, like when I would watch like TGI or like whatever, we had family dinner. We would like sometimes order on a Sunday and we would do like Tony Roma's or like pizza, like every child, like the kids would kind of get to pick and like we would like vote on it. But it was so many fucking people deciding. But I feel like with us, it was more like, no, like hay comida en la casa, which is something that like a lot of like Latino moms and dads say, there's food in the house. Like, why am I going to go? Like, I'm not going to go spend money when there's food in the house. We just, you know, this is rice and beans and meat and whatever, you know, platanos and a salad. And that, you're fine. This was like $7 at the grocery stores when we're not in it, because obviously it adds up for way more kids. But then I'm like, we did have like Burger King and McDonald's, like Happy Meals and stuff. But I don't know. It's such a different world.
when I was a kid, this is the truth. I was a very thin child. I'm not just trying to make this up. I was a very thin boy and I wouldn't eat a lot. So like they would get me like hamburgers from McDonald's. That was like one of the only things that I was a very picky eater and I like didn't care and I just wouldn't eat. So they were like, we're trying
and
to make
me. You're talking about hamburgers, not Big Macs. Cause that's
just total... hamburger, Happy Meals. But it was still even that thing like where that was maybe a once a week treat. But the crazy thing with fast food that we've talked about before too, which is the fucked up thing about it, is that a lot of working class families now need to buy like the bucket of KFC.
They don't have an option. Yeah.
It's like, it was more expensive back then. I feel like than it was now somehow. Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense. I could be wrong. I'm like, you guys have been doing.
Well, no, did you remember back it was like $2.99 for a long time. In my mind, I feel like that was like the $2.99
like the foot long?
No, the meal at McDonald's. Oh. Like that was a combo meal. It was for like $2.99.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I
mean, but granted, this was pre-dollar menu at McDonald's. So
sure.
Yeah.
Pre-dollar menu and pre documentary Super Size Me. I think that's what changed the game.
Yes.
This is after 2003. Everything's changed.
Yeah.
We're anti Super Size Me, Doc. We think it's fucking
we don't like Spurlock.
Oh. Yeah, Spurlock sucks too.
So you haven't seen the sequel with the chicken?
Oh, no, we have not seen. What's it? It's called like Super Size Me 2, Holy Chicken.
Yeah.
They can tell that this guy's out of ideas because he's been trying to make new things for like 20 years. Like nothing's hitting. So it's like, I'll make another Super Size Me. And it didn't even put any thought into the subtitle. Holy Chicken isn't even attempted upon. What is that? At least give me Holy Chicken.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's not like the first one was Holy Cow. There was like nothing.
Right. It doesn't.
There's nothing there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
we have notes.
It didn't hit as hard. It didn't shake up the chicken industry. Let's just say.
Yeah. I have a super hardcore question for you two. Please answer as honest as possible and as quick as possible. We don't want you to think about this a lot because I'm sure everyone asks you this. But I want your top one favorite fast food, like drive-through kind of place that you could drive through, and your top like chain restaurant. Doesn't matter if it's like it could be like a chain in Quincy or something in Boston, whatever.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be like Universal, whatever.
Right. I can go. Number one, drive through In-N-Out Burger, a sit down, and I think this qualifies, the Hillstone family of restaurants. Hillstone family includes your Houston's, your Hillstones, your Banderas, your Blank Grills. So all the Houston's restaurants I think are just like a cut above everything else.
Okay.
Even though that's an indulgence. That if that doesn't qualify, I'll audible to Cheesecake Factory. Because Cheesecake Factory is a closer.
Yeah. I mean, they used to be for me until they took away the portobello on a bun. And then that's it. Boy. They lost me.
I'm gonna go Wendy's for my drive through. I mean, though McDonald's is really calling my name. I've said this before that I think Taco Bell is maybe the best restaurant.
Wow!
So you're gonna use your restaurant,
the big R
the,
word,
the best restaurant. Taco Bell is so good, but I'll give it to Wendy's because I love the spicy chicken sandwich. And then sit down is so hard for me because so many places have died. We talked about this on the show too, where I like am rooting for like regional chains, because so many places have died over the years. Like I used to love Bickford's, which was like a breakfast dining like diner, and then now maybe I'll just say Bertucci's, because I mean my answer is of course is Pizzeria Regina Wikes in the North End. Is like a chain, so I guess that works, but I'll say Bertucci's for like a bigger chain that people can sit, and that's another pizza place.
Right.
They used to give you a ball of dough to play with when you were longer. So many places that mean like a lot to me, of like Tony Roma's, like that was like not a place that we really had that much of. It was like more local. It was kind of more local. And then another thing too is Chinese food restaurants. That's one thing I forgot to mention. That was like, that was as far as like, you know, like seemed like crazy, you know, out there food. That was like, that was what we had the most of. That was kind of like Chinese takeout, which is a very Americanized version of that too, I've talked with Wags about, which is like fried chicken fingers and chicken wings and crab rangoons and stuff like that. So,
Now, in your podcast, you've covered almost you've covered so many fast food restaurants, so many joints. Is there one that stands among the rest as just one of the worst fast food places?
Yes.
What's gotten your lowest score on Doughboys?
Thank you.
I want to know this too.
Wait, Tony, do you have an answer? Do you have something come to mind?
No, Tony was like, yes. I was going to ask that. Okay, all right. I was
inquiring mind.
He just had a PTSD.
Taco Bell.
Really?
No.
Wow.
No, I was just waving. I was just gesturing that I wanted to know the answer to this as well.
Wow.
Before you answer that, really quick, Oscar, before we get to that question, you mentioned Taco Bell as a restaurant three times in your, when you were talking about discourse. Your faves, Mitch. Okay. Yeah. And I don't know. Would you take someone on a date to Taco Bell?
Oh, shit.
Oof. I mean, like,
ironically,
if they were like very on board for it and were like, let's go get Taco Bell, then yes. But no, not like, hey, let's go get Taco Bell.
Yeah. I was like, because that's how I think of like, I'm like, okay, is this somewhere like I would like take someone like.
That, no, but, right. Taco Bell would not okay. make the cut. It would not
All right. make the cut. Okay, well then I forgive you then for earlier. now we can get to the nastiest one that you guys both didn't like as per Oscar's question.
I have one after our guest.
Oh, Tony just.
I'm actually looking through Fork scores right now. And there's a lot of bad ones there, but
Forks are what we rate our restaurants out of on the podcast. And some lunatic has fucking uploaded, like chronicled this on a Wikipedia, like all of our restaurant reviews. Wow. So I think that's what Mitch is referring to.
Hard Rock Cafe got really low, but we Caro's of course is one that we really hated.
Caro's, yeah.
Carlos, it seems like you have a SoCal connection. You remember Caro's?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It was like diner. It was like Coco's, but crappier.
Yes. Yes, it was like a worse Coco's, and there was a time when it was nicer. But we went to Caro's. We went to the last remaining Caro's in the county in South Pasadena, and it was so awful. To the point where Mitch asked the server for recommendations and she replied, "Oh, I don't eat the food here."
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
I don't eat the supply.
Wow.
My God.
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember there was one I lived in Pasadena. So I think there was one in Pasadena. So I might have gone, but I didn't realize that they were gone.
Yeah. They're evaporating. I mean, it's something that was touched on earlier, but like that sector of the chain restaurant, of chain restaurants is starting to go away. Like it's like everything in America. It's like there's the restaurants there's the fancy pants, gastropubs for rich people, and then there's the fast food takeout restaurants, your Little Caesars of the worlds for the working class, and then everything in the middle is just gone
Sizzler
away.
Sizzler is gone.
Yeah.
Sizzler used to be a staple.
Yeah.
And I guess in that same vibe. And you guys never had Ponderosa, right? Ponderosa is only like, it was in Puerto Rico, but I feel like that was in Florida too. It's a Sizzler vibe, but when growing up, it seemed like it was fancy, but it wasn't. It just had a salad bar, so people thought it was amazing.
But I gotta say, as kids, we all thought the jankiest chain restaurants were the most fancy.
Oh,
I remember Red Lobster. Yeah. That to me was the high.
That was the fanciest food you could possibly
Red
have.
Lobster
it's
is
not
fancy.
Bad. It's not, yeah,
it's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. It's not the bad. cheesy.
Listen, those biscuits, I've talked about them way too much on these spots.
You have. You actually have.
I mentioned it before. I take Ziploc bags, the big ones, and I keep asking for more. And then everybody at the table is like embarrassed a little bit towards the end. And I'm like, I'm not going to see this waiter ever again for a long time. Bye.
Right.
And in this story, she was drunk, not the dad.
Yeah.
No, sober as fuck too. I'm like, cool. Okay. So then that one, the Caro's was a bad one. So Caro's, you guys would both agree?
That was really, really bad. And then Chuck E. Cheese was really bad.
I remember that one. Yeah.
Chuck E. Cheese was rough. Where was it in this? And you know what? This one was tough just because it was truly like it was a thing where culturally it was just a different sort of place. Z Pizza Wags?
Mr. Pizza, I think. Mr. Pizza for women. Yes. This is the Korean pizza chain.
That is
say that one for women? Pizza
Mr.
for women?
Mr. Pizza is marketed in South Korea as pizza for women. So there's a Mr. Pizza outlet that existed in LA, and I don't know if it's still open. I don't know if there's more than one now, but we went and it's just toppings on pizza that we're not accustomed to. So it was things like sweet shrimp and corn pizza. And it was just pretty, just our palates are just not at all attuned to this.
With like, there was like, think of what sauce was on there. Why is like the shrimp cocktail sauce?
He's like cocktail sauce instead of
cocktail sauce on a pizza. Like there was just stuff.
I will say there's a Korean pizza place that I've been to that was actually pretty decent. I think it was called Korean Pizza Company or something like that. It had a lot of crazy ingredients, but it wasn't like that. It just felt like they just plopped shit on dough and.
Well, because you went to the one for men, Carlos.
Oh, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
That's
it. The one for men is better. Yeah. They don't let me in though. I keep trying to go. They won't let me in. It's fine.
Dear God.
wait, Tony. You said you had a pick for a restaurant you hated.
Oh yeah.
Yes. When I was a younger theater actor in New York, I got to do national tours in the States.
Wow.
So I feel like I know every hotel chain and almost every like fast food. And I have a very visceral negative reaction to White Castle.
Oh,
I hate it so much.
How do you feel about that, Mike and Nick? How do you feel about that? Yeah.
I mean, we didn't love White Castle when we went recently.
I have allegiance to it.
This is my hot take is that the frozen White Castle burgers are better than White Castle, and people did not.
Oh, the ones you get at Costco or Samsung.
Yeah,
or 7-Eleven when it's late at night and you have not had anything to eat, and you get a pack of the frozen.
Real story.
Yeah.
Oh, they 100%. Like multiple story, a book full of stories where I would be.
I will say that Mitch said this take to a recent guest on the podcast from New Jersey who loves White Castle. And it felt like he was going to get punched through Zoom somehow. It was like he was so upset by that take.
Yeah.
But
yeah, people go hard. They go hard for their places. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People love
it. But it is a thing where if you're not ready for it, it's going to mess up. I was going to say that the thing about White Castle and to a certain degree Taco Bell is that sometimes some people don't have the immunity for it. Mm. Oh, wait, explain that.
You're talking about the shitting?
among other things. Yeah. Like Taco Bell with me is seasonal because here's what happens. I have enough and it was like, oh, I haven't had it in a while. Let's do it. Let's eat it. And then something terrible happens and then I'm like, okay, I gotta. And then time passes. It's the same with Krispy Kreme. I don't know. Sure. Certain things like it adds up.
What you're saying
body.
Is you have to build an immunity to these.
No, you foods. Can only eat it. And then what for me, certain. And I feel like White Castle, I think a lot of people say the same thing. It's like you can go, but under the right the wrong circumstances, it's not going to be a pleasant experience.
Oh, right.
I get me like indigestion as you talk about it. About White Castle. It's just visceral.
I mean, I just feel like I'm like, yeah, food, poop. So like everything gives you poop. It's like,
I'm starting a diet for real. This sounds like a big guy lie, but I'm starting a diet tomorrow. Okay. And so today I like try to have something, one restaurant I haven't tried. And then tonight, I'm going with Wags to a place that I should have maybe mentioned is one of my favorite sit down chain restaurants.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Lowry's. We're going to Lowry's tonight.
Oh. I love Lowry's.
Ooh. Lowry's is great.
What is it?
It's a steakhouse, but I'm a vegan, but
but they have seasoning. Ooh. They have Lowry's seasoning.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. Lowry's seasoning. Yeah.
It's like the same
prime rib and mashed potatoes and corn and spinach. Mm-hmm. Like it's just
very
like,
basic.
It's old
meat
school.
Potatoes.
It's a nice steakhouse. It's like, it's pretty bougie. Like,
no, it's classy.
Where's it at?
It's classy. Yeah.
Beverly Hills.
It's Beverly
right
Hills.
By the SLS.
But is it up there with like STK or the,
yeah,
it's the other one.
It's a little different from that, but have you been to,
it's more like OG. It's like old school,
yes,
right? Yes. Like it's like an old, like, I mean, I'm not saying like mafia vibes, but, or like Italian, like, you know, like when, but you know what I mean? Like when you walk into like certain, like,
old, like Musso and Frank's.
Yeah. Yes.
Old, no, there's old, sure. There's an old Hollywood vibe to
exactly.
It. The in Los Feliz there's the Wags. Now I can't remember one of my favorite restaurants on earth.
Tam O'Shanter. Yes.
The Tam O'Shanter
I wanted to go there.
Never.
Yeah, that's Lowry. It's great. Tam O'Shanter is awesome.
Oh, it's the same owner.
Yeah, same owner, yeah. Oh, yeah, same restaurant group. And today I went to I don't know if you guys have had Guisados, the taco shop.
Guisados.
I love it. There's a new seafood version on Sunset called I'm gonna botch this. Playita Mariscos.
Is that right? Playita Mariscos.
Right where you live.
Guisados in Santa Monica.
No, on Sunset. It's around
West Hollywood. There's one in West Hollywood and there's one in downtown.
Okay.
And Echo Park.
So I tried.
Echo, right?
Yeah.
The other one?
Yeah.
Because there's a Sunset, but there's one like when you're going to the baseball stadium.
Yeah.
They're almost a chain now, but they've expanded enough to where the food is.
They're pretty decent.
They're so good. Yeah. And this new spot, the seafood version was really, really great. Some ceviche.
Yeah.
Ceviche.
You do it on purpose.
Ceviche.
Okay. I have another question, which I kind of thought of because I know like I already pitched this to you and you guys have no choice but to include me in this episode when you do it. I'm like, I have listened to like some other like food like podcasts or like shows as well. We know like the show like Anthony Bourdain and like all these Netflix sure. ones are really like people love to watch, you know, things about food and cooking and like where it's from and all of that. So when we were talking about it, I don't even remember how it came up, but I was saying like, I was saying that I want to be your guest at a strip club when you guys do it for the food. Cause everybody yes. talks about going to the strip club oh, to eat, wow. but there's like some strip clubs for real that have like legit apparently good food. So that's why we
legit
like,
apparently.
Like, I mean, I say apparently because
only one way to find
I don't
out.
Know. I don't eat out. Like the meat and stuff. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not just frequently going to fucking strip clubs, but I'm
strip like, club buffet.
Yes. Yeah. yeah. But so that's like a wild place to be like, okay, we're going to do like our podcast. We're going to go and like whatever, like at mm-hmm. a strip club and eat and, you know, and fucking rate the fucking food, not the entertainment, the food.
No, but that's part of so, the experience though. So I
but
would
it's
say
happening
that's
next, very it's part, fair. I mean,
yeah, totally. It's part of the ambiance. So you guys have done live shows and you've gone places and done them as well. So like, is there like a like dream location, restaurant, event that you guys would love to like do? Like you're like top, like doesn't matter how crazy you think the idea is.
Like medieval times.
Ooh. We have covered medieval times and it was fun, yeah. but I do want to go back because they have a new storyline. Oh. They like medieval times got woke and yeah. they have. No. So now the storyline is for the first time about a queen. Which they'd never done before. It was always a male-driven narrative. So.
And you know Nick and I are going back to Boo, baby.
Ooh, okay, wait.
We're booing the woke storyline.
Oh, okay. I was like, what restaurant is Boo?
Not my medieval time.
Okay, so you've been there. So then you're like, been there, done that. You want to go back, but...
We want to go back.
Go on, Mitch.
Well, you should say what you're going to say, because I was going to say we want to do Disney. We planned on doing Disney at one point.
Yes.
And Disney World, ooh, Disneyland. Yes. I mean, I think we should do both of them. But
a lot of Disney we can cover. A lot of restaurants there that are, And I think it absolutely qualifies as a chain. I would say that, Raisa, what you made me think of is Magic City, which is a strip club in Atlanta. Has a has a reputation rather for having like the best wings recipe. Like their wings are supposedly like people go to the club just for the wings. They get the wings to go from a strip club. That's how good they are. So as far as strip clubs go, that would be kind of the one I'd want to check out.
Okay, cool. Just let me know. I'll send
if you're
you guys
gonna go to Hooters,
avails.
Might as well go to Magic's. Yeah, it makes sense.
Magic City, which is they shouted out on I think. Perfect Gentleman by Wyclef Jean, the one just cause she dances go go, you know that song.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think he shouts out Magic City. We almost tried to do Magic City, and then I think Welcome to Atlanta, they maybe shout out Magic City too. But we tried to do it when we were down there. We talked about going to Magic City at one point when we were in Atlanta and we got to the door and we ran off scared.
You got scared. Oh, damn.
Okay, so that's the top strip club. But is there another place other than that? I'm like, because I know I'm like, obviously, again, that's, I'll send you guys my full information for my plane ticket.
I love it.
is there another like dream place? Like, and it could be anywhere in the world, anywhere, like.
International.
Wait, are you talking horny places or just like regular?
We made a hard left here.
I meant like a place. Because I feel like Nick, like.
Forget about like food for a second, Mike. Just talking about horny stuff.
Okay. A place where the titties are not out in your face. Like, we love titties in our face, but also like. Anywhere. Like, again, and it could be like a pop up. It could just be, I mean, you could fucking be like Wolfgang Gung Pack, whatever the fuck his name is, house, and do it from there. Like, and
ooh,
could,
all right.
Like whatever that is.
That's a good one.
For us, it's kind of tough because the titties are attached to our bodies, so they're always kind of in our faces.
Fair. I get it.
Understood. That's fair.
But as far as like places around the world, we have our theme month coming up is going to be fun, and we might fly to a place or two, and I won't spoil that. But like as far as oversea stuff, there's that place Nando's Wags. We talked about Nando's. Yeah. We were gonna
Everyone
do
talks
Nando's.
About Nando's in the UK. That's a big chain over there. Cheeky Nando's, they say.
we want to do like we just think that people would never listen to the podcast again. But we talked about like going to the French Laundry and like doing a meal there, which is like a super, super expensive restaurant up in wine country.
Yeah, it's bougie.
People would be so mad. Yeah, it's super bougie. But Wise, is there other, I mean, like it would be great to, I want to do Doughboys Live in Japan, and it would be great to do like Gyro or like any of those kind of giant, like well-known restaurants in Japan.
Well, so the big one, the big chain we haven't still covered in the U.S. is Applebee's. So there is something to like, just we need to cover Applebee's at some point. That is, you know, that is an untapped vein. But internationally, I'm fascinated by, there's an Australian version of Burger King called Hungry Jack's.
Yeah.
Because someone else there owned the copyright for Burger King. So over there, it's called Hungry Jack's, and it's like the same, it's like a same menu, but Australianized. And so I just want to see what that version is. I guess more generally, like as far as international food goes, like just trying the chain restaurant versions of like, what's McDonald's like in South Korea? Yeah. What is McDonald's in Belgium? Changes. Like that's just like an interesting topic. And I think we could stretch out a few episodes out of that.
I love that. Yeah. I love that.
Do like season. A year on it.
A season.
A
tour. It's a tour. Yeah.
Oh,
it's
my
been
goodness.
6 years and we haven't done it yet. I mean, we should already have done it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I'm super excited to find out about the episodes coming up that you cannot spoil. So I can't wait to listen to those. October. Okay. Perfect timing to listen and then order the food and not feel bad and wear my sweatpants because it should be cold. you guys, thank you again so much for, you know, coming on the podcast. You guys are always like welcome here. We're so happy to have you. Definitely. Please let us know anything coming out, any TV, movie, podcast.
Well, congrats,
course,
Mike, on Tomorrow everything. War, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like,
thank you so much. Oh my God. Yeah.
That's
a
baller. Action star over here.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I'm very excited. Tomorrow War is on Amazon Prime right now. If you wanna check it out. I got to shoot a gun. They trusted me enough to let me shoot a gun with blanks, and it was great. And Nick flew down to Atlanta and was visiting during all the filming of that to record Doughboys. So he was nice. A trooper through all that too.
What a different, like, we thought that we had to be in the same place to record a podcast.
I know.
What a different world. Why were we so dumb?
Yeah.
Check out Tomorrow War. It's such a fun action movie. It's on Amazon Prime. And also check out Doughboys, me and Mitch's podcast about chain restaurants. Oscar, Aiza, both of them been on episodes. Tony and Carlos will be on upcoming episodes. And we seriously talk about like fucking Pizza Hut or Chili's or whatever the topic is, and we talk about other stuff, and that's pretty much all it is. Doughboys Rise Pod on Twitter and Doughboys Podcast on Instagram.
Rise is coming back for some. We'll get you in there for some
kind of strip prep related.
Strip prep related.
Oh my God.
Horny foods.
Horny foods.
I'm ready. I'm ready for it. You guys. It needs to be a female. You guys can't have a guy. It's got to be a female.
I believe we reviewed Hooters with Kulop.
That's right.
So
perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was her choice.
Yeah.
It was her choice. Yeah.
I mean, there's some food from there that I genuinely like. I mean, again, I don't eat meat, but like, there's, I love all great. The fucking sides that are fried, like, the terrible things. I love them. But again, thank you guys so much. Everyone, please make sure to follow the Doughboys. Nick and Mike, thank you so much. And you guys could follow us at Spanish Aquí Presents on Instagram. You could follow us on Twitter at Spanish Aquí. And you could follow me at Raisa Licea on Instagram and on Twitter.
And you can follow me at, of course, it's Carlos on Instagram.
You can follow me at Ozzymo on Instagram and Twitter.
You can follow me at hungryandthirsty.com. I'm at the Tony Rodrigue on all of the things. Guys, thank you so much. Yeah, so much fun.
I'm hungry. I'm gonna go make lunch.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, this is a blast.
Now I'm starving.
I know. Spanish Aquí Presents is an Earwolf production, executive produced by me, Raisa, Tony, Carlos, and Oscar. It's engineered by Jordan Duffy and produced by Anita Flores.
You can follow us on social media on Instagram at Spanish Aquí Presents and Spanish Aquí on Twitter.
Find our latest merch at potswag.com and especially look out for the Spanish Aquí Presents enamel pin set featuring all of our beautiful faces.
Yeah, and help us get the word out by telling a friend about the show today.
Make sure to rate and review Spanish IQ Presents and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen.
Want more Spanish IQ Presents? Find our full archive and ad-free episodes on Stitcher Premium. Use promo code SAP for a 1-month free trial at stitcher.com/premium.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.